came to Hillsboro 67 years ago in 1908. And Hillsboro had a population of 2,016. I engaged in the amusement business and have built and managed theaters continuously since that time. Therefore, we'll talk to you about the entertainment and recreation of Hillsboro in the early days and the past years. I think that other people on this engagement will talk about other phases of the town. Now, in the first place, how many of you have seen pictures of the early days in Hillsboro when there was board streets, you know, the board streets and all that stuff? Well, there's no use, I thought I'd get that, but that's the way it was when I came to town. All the downtown streets were paved with planting, 2x12 planting. And in 1911, the city paved the entire downtown area, including all around the courtyard and all down to the Southern Civic Depot and on baseline, outer ways. And that time also they put in a sewer system. We had no sewer system up to that time. One little observation I thought of was I didn't look this up from historical reference or anything, but I understand that Hillsboro was in a county called Tuolumne County. Have you heard about that? You've studied that already, huh?
No, not really. I've mentioned it.
You mentioned it.
But not the Tuolumne.
Well, it was Hillsboro was a part of the Oregon Territory at that time, and they had, I don't know if they called them counties, maybe they called them divisions or some damn thing, but people that lived in Hillsboro had to go to Portland. No, people that lived in Portland had to come to Hillsboro to pay their taxes. And because there was no town of Portland then. That was before there was a town of Portland. In fact, Hillsboro was a quite important town before Portland was ever started. If there's anything on your notes that you haven't completed and you'd like to ask me about, what you could ask me now if you wanted to fill anything out that I didn't give you time to.
What was the music
street? Pardon?
What was the music
street? The paved street, 1911. And of course, you know, when they pave the streets in a town, they have to put sewer systems under them first, so that's the reason they put complete sewer system in that part of the town at that time. Now, I am not exactly sure about what you'd like to hear about, but when I first came to Hillsboro, naturally there was no motion pictures because they just started. And even after they started and I opened the theater here, there was very few pictures. And they weren't like you see at all now. They weren't anywhere near what you'd see. Now, people come in and sat down on the show and paid 10 cents. And the show lasted, at the most, it lasted 20 minutes. 2 years, 20 minutes. That was your entire show in those days. And sometimes, only 15 minutes. Yeah, yeah, she thought, okay, I'll keep on going then. I thought you might. But you don't wait for me?
No.
Okay. Well, okay, I will. Now, the pictures were a little, they're silent pictures, no talking. And there was very little story. The stories generally lasted 5 minutes. A reel of film run 10 minutes, and they put two subjects, two little stories on 10 minutes to film, so that make about 5 minutes apiece. And there were little comedies or a little chase pictures or a little tragedy. Someone would get hurt or something. And there was one, a couple of instances during those days doing pictures that I think is worth mentioning, was that there was two pictures that I remember real well, except for some reason. One of them was a bear hunt in Russia. They called the picture a bear hunt in Russia. And the picture was composed of showed the interior of a man that lived in the woods in Russia. There were woods all around him. And he got up in the room and went over and took his gun off of the gun rack on the wall, got his gun, and put his coat on and his hat on, bundled up, and went out, and there was snow on the ground. And he went outside and walked out in the woods and shot a bear and turned around and came back and hung his gun up, and that was the whole picture. That was the whole story. That's all you saw. And then one of the ones that really was a good picture that kind of give people a little laugh and stuff was a picture entitled "The Cowboy Millionaire." It was a Texan that run a cattle ranch in Texas. Got a lot of people together, and I think he leased a car on the railroad, and went to New York City. And blew himself due to that. And while they were on there, the story in the film was all about while these cowboys were on a train, in a car on a train, and they got to raising their dickens and having a lot of fun and everything. And one of them threw the porter out through the window, out through the train window. And that was the end of the picture. And everybody laughed their heads off, and it was all there was to it. See, but they, I just say that to let you get an idea of how simple the things were in those days, and as far as pictures were concerned. And of course, it's just built and built and advanced since then. And, the reason we had silent pictures then, from that time that I'm talking about now, that was the first couple of years I was here, and we ran silent pictures until in Hillsborough until the 1930. Then we put in talking pictures, or sound pictures they called them, really, talking or sound. I don't know whether you'd be interested in this or not, but the reason they could have made sound pictures long before that. In fact, they did. I'll tell you about one. But they couldn't make good sound until the tubes they have in television and amplifiers to make sound with now. But nobody had invented that tube yet. And when they got that tube, they could make good sound. And before, it was very bad sound. It was just speechy stuff. And that was the only source of sound they had, was what they called phonograph. And it wasn't suitable for talking pictures. Nobody could, it wasn't good enough. But as soon as they got the amplifying tube, then they could make good stuff, and then they started making sound. But way back in these early days that I talked to you about a minute ago, during the little short reel time, I ran a talking picture in that theater. Now, very few people know it. I don't know whether you know it, did you? But somebody invented a talking picture with a little phonograph. You put the phonograph up on the stage and it was good. It wasn't good sound, but you could hear it and understand a little of it. And the idea was that they would run an endless belt made out of a kind of a cord thing from the stage to the operating room, and that run off of the machine, and the film was supposed to be gauged to what was on the record, and in that way it would keep the speech, the talking, in step with it, except in the picture speech. So that the men come on and all together. But that never worked. But I got the film of the talking picture and the record to put on a phonograph. And it only run about 4 minutes, 3-4 minutes, or maybe less than that. And I practiced it and rehearsed it and rehearsed it and practiced on it and get somebody to start the phonograph down on the stage, and I would start the film at a certain spot, and I could make it talk with the pictures if I cranked the machine just right. But we played that pretty, we ran that, but nobody remembers that, I don't think, anymore, because that was about 65 years ago or something. And but that's true. We ran talking pictures way back there. Well, now, I think we ought to get into the idea of, there was quite a lot of entertainment and recreation in Hillsboro in those days. It was, of course, there was no automobiles much, and people stayed home quite a bit of the time, and, but they had, dances, Saturday night dances in town, and they had private dances in different places in halls and homes of the town, and we had, then back in those days, way back there, when I'm talking about first coming here, the main music entertainment in all these small towns, and in cities too, was bands. They called them concert bands, not marching bands like our high school band. In fact, they weren't near as good as our high school bands, most of them. But they did. Every town nearly had a band. Now, here in the county here, there's Hillsboro and Vincent Caminus and Forest Grove, and there was a band out at this little settlement called Bethany out here. They had a band. Lots of people had bands. And that was their music at the town, mainly. And they'd give concerts in the city park or the courthouse square. They had a bandstand there, and they'd give concerts in the summer every week, Saturday nights and those kind of things. And that was quite a activity. And there was very little music in the schools. Now, you know how we have now, we have I guess you get some of it already, and it goes right on, and you have musical organizations in the grade schools and in the high school. And here we've got a band of over 100 pieces, I guess, in the high school at present time. And of course, we noticed that's kind of along our line of entertainment, and it's very gratifying to go through that period. Now, another thing, too, I think about the first time that the high school here got real organized in their bands and their music was when Mr. Gutman came here. Prior to that time, it was old kind of part-time directors, you know. Some other teacher would direct it. Wasn't it that when Gutman came here? Mm-hmm. And I think he was the first one. He still is. And he sure done a fine job of developing our music. Now, back in those days, as far as amusement was concerned and entertainment, we had baseball. I hadn't played ball at that time, too, but we had a regular baseball field where the swimming tank is now down at the park. That block, that entire block was a baseball field. Oh, and it had grandstands and stuff in it, like they do in a park. She's about 800, I think, in there. And they had lots of baseball in those days. And we had a skating rink. Back in the very early days, they had a skating rink that was on the corner of First and PRM Railroad Track. I don't know what they call that street now. They used to call it Railroad Street.
It was on First Street. It's not where you think of
the street.
This is
not First Street.
Railroad.
Across the street, across the street.
Where the motor vehicle place is in Hillsborough? Well, it was right down in there, near that area. That was the first skating rink. That was before the one that Two Park was built,
wasn't
it? The one Two Park hadn't been built yet.
No. That was in 1908. I guess it was there before I came.
Mm-hmm.
But it was on the southeast corner, Mary.
Yeah.
And it was the upstairs floor, kind of a dance hall floor, not too large, over a feed store that sold hay and grain and stuff like that. And that was that was the only skating rink we had here, and just on the one out. Now,
what about the one that's too
short? Oh, yes, we finally got skating in. I got to do all the going pretty quick. Now, the auditorium was built in 1921, and I happened to be on the committee that built it at that time, and it was built and completed and used the first time on the 4th of July, 1921, and up to that time I've been, I didn't mention it. Back in those days, we also had this every year 4th of July celebration. We've had to have been here, as I understand it, I don't know the history of it, but I've heard it had been here almost 50 years before I came here. So it's been, that 4th of July celebration has been going over 100 years.
The auditorium is what they
call
the skating rink, isn't it? The one that they
just tore out? Yeah, they got to call it the skating rink. Pavilion is what we originally called it. Shoot Park Pavilion.
Shoot Park Pavilion is what it originally
was. It never was an auditorium. It was a park pavilion.
And then later on,
the shoot part, well, I had charge of the building, so I know how it went. And we got it built on for the 4th of July celebration in 1921. Good, you got that. And we didn't, it had a very fine maple floor on it. We didn't do anything but dance in it, but we had big crowds for Saturday night dances in those days. In fact, we made enough money off of it to pay for the building of the auditorium pretty fast. And then Then it was used for kind of recreational basketball playing and stuff like that for a period. And then the city stopped running dances there, and it sat idle for quite a long few years. And then people got to running it for a skating rink. They come and leased it for a skating rink, bring a little revenue. And since then, it's hard to mix. You can't mix dancing and skating. You know, it's always good. So now the swimming in Hillsboro, as far as the swimming activity is concerned, that pool wasn't built until just before the Second World War, really.
I was 9 when it was built.
You was 9?
Mm-hmm.
How do you? Mm-hmm. Well, you was only about 3 years old when it was born.
Yeah, I was 9 years old.
Well, then it was right after the war. I couldn't decide that. That's when the swimming tank was built. But we figured on swimming tanks long years before that. But there was always too many things against it. Most swimming tanks were not very sanitary in those days, and it wouldn't be building another one. I don't know whether it's the appropriate place to talk about it, Mary, but as far as, do you know anything about the recreational park, the recreational commission in Beaverton?
Mm-hmm.
West Hills Recreation, they call it. It comprises a portion of the Beaverton Union High School District. And it's a commission. It's public, you know, commission. And self-supporting, the whole business. And they run recreational things, maybe other than swimming tanks, but mainly swimming tanks.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, the cost of maintaining a building and maintaining a swimming tank is borne by the whole high school district. This way, Hillsboro's worked for years and years and years and years. They say we ought to cover this swimming tank down here. Well, if we cover that swimming tank down here, the people that live in this little city of Hillsboro are going to have to pay the whole bill, and we're going to have to pay for the maintenance on it too. Where we should get a recreational area here that will cover the whole district, high school district, with swimming tanks. One out north, one out south, and one in Hillsboro. And then the taxes will be paid by the entire district that uses it, because they all use it. See? And we'll get something done that way, because we'll have a bigger tax base. So I thought I'd throw that in. That's been a hobby of mine for years. Well, is there anything else that you think we could cover here? Of course, a good deal of my activity in Hillsboro was with the city affairs and stuff, and it's another subject altogether. I haven't told you about my own theater yet. I should tell you that. But I wanted to explain that being in that business all these years, this is the main subject that I would be supposed to talk on. But the first theater I had here was the Arcade Theater on Main Street. It's across the street from town theater, the town theater, that's straight across the street from that, this Arcade Theater. And it had seated 108 people. That was built in 1908. Then the second theater the Liberty Theater at the location of where the Town Theater now is, on the same location. All these theaters that I'm mentioning now were built on that one lot. The Liberty Theater then was built following the arcade, and that seat 275 people. The Grand Theater then was built after the Liberty. The Liberty Theater was changed into the Grand, another theater built there. That seated 500 people. Then the Venetian Theater, following that, that was built in 1925, and it seats 750 people. Then the next one was the Hill Theater on Third Street. That seats 450 people. Now, I mentioned the Arcade and the Liberty and the Grand and the Venetian, and then we had a fire in 1956. Mm-hmm. And when we rebuilt the Venetian Theater that was already there in that same building, when the Venetian Theater burned, the auditorium off, and then when we rebuilt it, we named it the Town Theater. Now, of course, then besides that, we had to do with building the drive-in theater at Camille Street. Besides the motion picture theaters that were here, there was another motion picture theater here. I didn't build it, but I operated in it at the time. It was the Majestic Theater. It was another one that was here. Then the old opera house, the Crescent Theater, I operated that for a period of time, too. Now, am I missing anything, Mary, in the way of recreation?
Did you have any questions for us?
Yes, an item. I was here when it was built, and it was right around the period of the maybe around 1914. I think it was about 1914, after the pavement was put in. And that was known as the Carnegie Library, C-A-R-N-E-G-I. Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Very solid.
Mr. Carnegie was a very, very rich man. And
he was in the steel industry.
He was one of the first people to make steel, and he made a lot of money. And he felt that every town ought to have a library. And so when he died, he set up a foundation that every town that wanted one met certain qualifications to get a library. And he would pay for it, and that's what he did. We set up many, many libraries, and so our first library was a Carnegie Library.
Did we
have to pay any money for that?
No, he built it all, and the city agreed to maintain it, stock it with books. I don't know what he bought the books first.
I think he might
have bought the books, but they have to maintain it and operate it. They do that, and he built the library free of charge. And he built lots of libraries, some bigger than the ones we had, some bigger cities, that was quite an event.
So two towns that couldn't afford a library, but they applied. How did you get it? Did you apply for it?
Well, I wasn't active in that at that time. I was too busy willing to see it. Like it. But I know about it, of course. But no, we had to form a library board and then apply for the building of it, and have a vote of the people if they wanted it, and they wanted to maintain it, and they wanted to stop it, and run it. And the people of Israel voted to have it, and they applied for it, and finally gave money to build it.
Can you imagine seeing that today? On last Saturday, look how much the people had to pay for it. The first library was almost free.
It was free.
A free library. Someone came in. That's how rich that foundation was. It just came in and they built the library and stocked it, and all the city of Hillsborough had to do was take it over and take care of it.
And you know that, Mary, I was surprised at, during that period there, how little the library fund amounted to.
Mm-hmm.
It was practically nothing. Oh, the people that worked in those days didn't make much money anyway. Of course, that's another subject, and there's no use to worry you people about it. That's all past. Because there's pretty hard times all the time in those days. In fact, able-bodied men had families to support. Lots of them worked as high as well as 15 cents an hour and supported the family. Of course, they were cheap. That's all those days, but oh, that's past. We don't even think about those things.
Thank God. Remember he said you only paid 10 cents for a movie for the show?
Yeah, 10 cents. That was the first price. And then the prices, well, they just progressed along as the economy raised all the time and the cost raised. And of course, finally, the main price in town in the main prosperous times of the theater business, was our price to go